Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon, Steve Jones Show. We're heading downhill to the weekend, final weekend of summer 2019. News Radio 1070 WKOK. I'm Sean Carey, and in just a few, we will hear from Steve in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, North 4th Street, Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots of ways to get in contact with us. Our email, stevejones@wkok.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. You can find 3 months of previous shows archived at stevejonesshow.com. And also, we invite you to subscribe to our free podcast. As soon as we have them live here on WKOK, we archive them, drop them as podcasts on iTunes, Apple Podcast App, Google Play. Search Steve Jones Show. So if you are listening to us by way of the podcast, thank you for downloading. And you're listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a review, 5-star reviews. That gets the word out even further to all of Nittany Nation, as we're now, 3 days, 20 minutes away from kick in Happy Valley between Penn State and Idaho. And we'll have a 2 p.m. airtime Saturday here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Of course, tomorrow night here on WKOK, we'll have the Penn State Coaches Show featuring James Franklin, presented by Pepsi. Steve and the coach from Primanti Brothers in downtown State College. And Steve is also scheduled to be joined by women's volleyball head coach Ross Rose. Russ Rose tomorrow night on the show. So it'll be Russ Rose and James Franklin on the Coaches Show tomorrow night, 6:05 here on WKOK. So here on the show this afternoon, I'll have Brandon Gowden on the show. We had Brandon on back in March during the NCAA men's basketball tournament. He had some play-by-play assignments with Westwood One. Of course, you see him on BTN. He will be in Beaver Stadium Saturday for the TV broadcast for Penn State, Idaho. So we'll talk to Brandon. We have him scheduled at 3:35 later this hour. And also we have scheduled to join us Mark Brennan from Fight on State for more Penn State talk. Tomorrow we will have our high school football roundtable, the Week 2 edition. Get you fired up for all the high school games we will have on our Sunbury Broadcasting Group. Week 2 will feature Shikellamy at Central Columbia here on WKOK, Central Mountain at Lewisburg on 100.9 The Valley, and Selwyn's Grove travels up to Jersey Shore to Thompson Street Stadium tomorrow night, rematch of last November's District 4 Quad A Championship game. Pat O'Brien, Dave Hess will have that on Eagle 107 beginning at 6 on Friday night. Of course, throughout the night, we'll have scoreboard updates at WKOK.com, so you can stay in the loop on all the games going on across the central Susquehanna Valley. So we are with you live till 5, and then it'll be the abbreviated late-day news roundup with Zach Klein. And then at 5:30, we'll go to Citizens Bank Park, Philadelphia, for Phillies baseball. Vince Velasquez has a clear task ahead of him as he prepares for his start tonight. Got a rebound. Vince wasted a 7-0 lead in Miami last Friday night and watched the Marlins dust themselves off from an early deficit and pound their way to a 19-11 win. So no doubt he is eager to get back on the mound tonight. So he was pretty embarrassed. Took full responsibility for that whole outcome of the game. V-squared is 5-7, ERA just under 5, so he gets his chance at redemption tonight as the Phillies wrap up their three-game series with the Pittsburgh Pirates at Citizens Bank Park. And Velasquez will face the Pirates for the first time this season. Pittsburgh evened the series last night when Phillies first baseman Rhys Hoskins dropped a double play throw from shortstop Gene Segura that would have ended the ninth inning tied 4-4, but Adam Frazier scored the go-ahead run on the play as the ball rolled away. The Pirates have won 4 out of their last 5. They swept the Reds over the weekend, and they'll turn to Mitch Keller tonight to earn their second straight series win. Keller has a record of 1-2 with a 7.24 ERA. So that's tonight here on 1070 AM on deck at 5:30. First pitch at 6:05. So last night at Citizens Bank Park, women's soccer legend Carly Lloyd was there. She threw out the ceremonial first pitch before that Phillies-Pirates game. Well, she has been in the news. It started out as something harmless, something competitive, fun. Well, she is seriously pursuing a career in the National Football League, be the first woman to play in the NFL as a kicker. About a week ago, Lloyd drilled a 55-yard field goal at the Eagles' practice facility. Now, she has not received an offer to kick in a preseason game. She hasn't just generated interest from multiple NFL teams. She's also decided it's something she's seriously considering. And she made mention of that last night during the telecast on NBC Sports Philadelphia. She was interviewed by Greg Murphy. So it'll be a pioneering moment for women, that's for sure. That's how Carly describes it. Do a lot of training in the off season, and some say that if she's going to do it, she's going to do it so she can be a success. Not going to take it lightly. Carly Lloyd grew up outside of Philadelphia over in New Jersey, and she and the Nationals team, they're doing a farewell celebration tour. They'll be playing Portugal in a friendly exhibition game tomorrow night at Lincoln Financial Field. I expect a big crowd for that down in South Philly tomorrow night. The Indianapolis Colts had free agent quarterback Brock Osweiler in for a visit yesterday. Colts are looking for a veteran backup quarterback to play behind Jacoby Brissett following the surprise retirement of Andrew Luck over the weekend. The only other quarterbacks currently on the Colts roster are Philip Walker and Chad Kelly. Walker has never played a snap in a regular season game, and Kelly is suspended for the first 2 games of this season for violating the league's personal conduct policy. Colts coach Frank Reich gave the indication earlier this week they would be looking to upgrade the backup spot. Brock Osweiler, 28, went 2-3 as a fill-in starter for the Miami Dolphins last season when Ryan Tannehill was injured. Gave the fan base hope during a span they called Brocktober down in Miami. That began him throwing for a career-high 380 yards in an upset overtime victory over the Chicago Bears. But then in the following games, his level of play definitely stabled, for sure. But he wants to reestablish his career from disappointing starter to reliable backup quarterback. He signed a 1-year, $880,000 contract with Miami and competed to make the roster as a backup. And despite a rough training camp, the Dolphins kept Osweiler as their number 2 and kept them afloat when Tannehill got hurt early in the season last year. Osweiler did 63.5% of his passes for about 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. But his biggest NFL contribution, Osweiler, was back in 2015 when he was in for an injured Peyton Manning with the Denver Broncos. That helped them earn the AFC's top seed and also en route to a victory in Super Bowl 50. That season also led to a $72 million contract with the Houston Texans, who traded him to Cleveland after one difficult season as the Texans' starter. And some college football news. Alabama defensive signal caller Dylan Moses likely to miss the season after the inside linebacker suffered a knee injury in practice yesterday. Nick Saban said in a media teleconference that he'll need surgery on the knee and will be out indefinitely. Moses, a Butkus Award finalist last season, finished with 86 total tackles, 10 for loss, and 3.5 sacks in 2018. Saban said that earlier this month, the linebacker was among the thinnest positions on his team and that the Tide could ill afford to have injuries there this season. So we'll take a quick break. Expect to have Steve in the Sunbury Motor Studio soon. And we'll also have Brandon Gowden from BTN join us later this hour. Mark Brennan, hopefully, scheduled to join us later on in the show from Fight On State. It is the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You've patiently waited all summer to buy that new car or truck.
Well, this is it.
Hurry into all Sunbury Motors locations now through Saturday.
At Sunbury Motors Ford.
It's the final days of the Hurry Up and Save sales event. Choose from over 100 new 2019 Ford F-150s with discounts as high as $14,500. And choose from over 50 2019 Ford Escapes. They start at $17,985.
At Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
A 2019 Hyundai Kona SE starts at just $28,052. There's 13 2019 Tucson SEs starting at $22,619. And a 2020 Elantra SE is under 20 grand at $19,089.
At Sunbury Motors Kia,
there's 0% financing for up to 75 months on select 2019 Kia Optimas, Sportages, Cadenzas, Sedonas, and Serenos. Your interest rate will be zero until 2025. And the summer with a new vehicle from Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Sunbury Motors.
Welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Brandon Gowden's going to join us on the show today. He'll be calling the game on BTN. Later in the show, Mark Brennan will join us, get us his impressions of yesterday's press conference with James Franklin. And so that's where we are on this particular day. The Phillies lost to the Pirates last night. Sean Rodriguez was booed relentlessly by the Philadelphia fans.
Yeah, less than 24 hours after that walk-off on Monday night.
Yeah. Okay. He's now hit 5 walk-off homers in his career, which is 5 more than the entire crowd that booed him combined.
True. Can't argue that.
Right.
Although the angle that he took late night, Monday night into Tuesday morning in the press conference calling a lot of, he didn't call all Phillies fans entitled, but he was trying to get it, the way he was phrasing his words, he was doing his best to defend Rhys Hoskins with the tough slump that he's been going through.
Yes. I talked to Sean's dad last night. You know Sean's dad is Johnny Rodriguez, right? Johnny was the manager of the State College Spikes for 2 years. He guided the Spikes to a 2016 championship. Actually, is the winningest manager in the history of the Spikes. Well, Johnny's been back the last few days because what they do in the Cardinals organization, they mandate days off for their coaches. Well, Cody Gabella, who happens to be State College's hitting coach, is in on his vacation right now. So Johnny's come in. And Johnny's been managing at Double A for them and so forth. And I said, what a hit for the kid last night. He goes, yeah. He says, and then there's the trouble after the game. I said, yeah, I know, Johnny. but you have to remember, too, Sean Rodriguez has been through way more than some people because of that horrific car accident that he and his family were in a couple of years ago in Atlanta. And I think some people are very selective in what they remember about what certain people have been through. So Rhys Hoskins getting booed or mistreated, in his opinion, by the fan base. Sean, you can criticize Sean Rodriguez all you want. He's been through a lot more than your criticism. A lot more. His wife got hurt in that accident. His children got hurt in that accident. It's the first thing, every time I see Johnny, it's the first thing I say to Johnny. I said, kids are doing well. She's doing well. He's all right. Yeah. First thing.
Yeah, then Sean Rod gets hit by a pitch last night, goes to first base, and you hear the mock applause from the crowd, and it's like, we had an Eagles game? What are we doing here?
Right. Good news, you've now joined the exclusive club that includes Santa Claus.
That's right.
Way to go. That's why, you know what? you have to get to the point, and not everybody gets to this point, by the way, but you really do, Sean, have to get to the point where you know your job better than anybody else. It doesn't mean you can't take advice from somebody about something, or they've seen something or heard something, whatever, that might help you. Might help you. But you know your job better than anybody. So let's just take our business. I'm not going to tell Mark Lawrence ever how to do a morning show. He's way better doing a morning show than I am. Right? You're a better, quote, radio guy than I'll ever be. I mean, now, when it comes to the play-by-play work and shows like this, okay, that's my wheelhouse. But in terms of being a pure radio guy, nuts and bolts, man, you're way better than I'll ever be. We kid about the suit in sales. We kid about that all the time. I could never be a salesperson. Never. Could not be a salesperson.
I tried for a year and a half about 15 years ago, and look where we ended up. Ended up back here. Yeah.
But I'm saying, but I mean, I kid about him all the time. It's just all part of the shtick of the show. That's all it is. Because, you know, he's obviously a really good friend of mine. But I could never do his job. I would not be good at all at his job. Selling insurance, couldn't do it. Okay? Sunbury Motors, not me. Okay? Purdy's, couldn't do it. What Corey does, can't do it. That's why I always tell everybody, they'll say, oh, I can't, I could never do what you do. I've had a lot of people say that to me, and I've said to them, I said, yeah, but I said, that doesn't mean I can do what you can do. You're the expert at what you do. See, I've always appreciated the expertise of other people. And I know in sports it's a bit different because they see first of all, they see is the money. X coach is making X amount of million. X right fielder has a 13-year, $330 million contract. That brings with it expectations. And, you know, I mean, do you think Rhys Hoskins wants to be in a slump? I mean, do you think he woke up and said, you know, I think I'll go 0-4 tonight. You know, I mean, I've gone 0 for my last 17. If I get it to 21, I think it'd be quite an accomplishment. Don't you guys think so? Or do you think he's going up there every single time and might even be trying harder? I mean, if somebody is dogging it, hey, let's take an example. Somebody's running down the first base line and they don't sprint it out. They don't sprint it out. Okay? That player should be booed. Should be. That player should be roundly booed by the fans because they didn't try and give it their all. Rhys Hoskins is trying, and you're booing him? Really? Yeah, that ought to encourage him to do better.
And that's interesting you bring up the giving it all part, because there have been times where there have been other players on the Phillies team where they weren't giving their all going down the bases, like Michael Franco and Gene Segura, for instance.
Exactly. Those are the players you boo. I think Cesar Hernandez got benched, didn't he?
Yeah.
All right? When a player is giving it everything they have and it's not working, they are not sitting there going, hey, how about that one, huh? They feel worse than you do because they're frustrated. All right? And then, of course, you know, you got a group of people who just know they can play way, way better than you can. Really? You could? You can't. Hey, this is the point where, believe it or not, when somebody's down and out, where you need to encourage them, not destroy them.
Brewers Outlet. Brewers Outlet. Brewers Outlet. Bud Light 1047. Bud Light 1047. Bud Light 1047. Brewers Outlet. Brewers Outlet. Bud Light 1047. Bud Light 1047. Now that's what I'm talking about. Brewers Outlet has Bud and Bud Light 18-pack 12-ounce cans for just $10.47. Get it? We got it. Pickles, ice, cigars, lottery, and all your beverage and party needs are a one-stop shop at The Beverage Supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. This is really, in my opinion, one of the truly underrated guys in broadcasting, and that's Brandon Gauton, whom I have great respect for his work. Brandon, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. Thank you, Steve. It's always good to be on with you.
All right, let's start with this. When you look at Penn State, what's the framework that you're working with Penn State as to what you're interested to see on Saturday as a starting point?
Well, I think you know where I'd go with that. I'm curious to see Sean Clifford. And obviously, this is, I'm not going to say it's going to be a pushover, but it's not going to be the level of competition they're going to face throughout most of the season. But I'm curious to see how he starts, how he handles that pressure of being the true QB1 and the spotlight on him. And then the running backs, you know, both of these teams, actually, Idaho as well, have talked about using running back by committee. I'm really curious to see how Coach Ronnie and Coach Franklin spread the carries, how many looks Ricky Slade gets versus the rest of the guys. And I'm curious to see the O-line. It seems like every time I talk to Penn State fans over the last few years, even though there have been some key players and guys that have gone on to the NFL, they have been a little upset at times at the play of the offensive line and the consistency of it or lack thereof. And so I'm curious to see how the offensive line responds. It really seems, and you would know this better than me, like there aren't very many questions on the defensive side of the ball. The defense was so darn good last year and has so much firepower back. So I think most of the questions for me and what I'm curious to see really are centering around that offense.
And obviously around the offensive line, Brandy, you've watched enough of so many teams across the country. What can solid play up front do for a quarterback that's trying to get his feet wet as a starter?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it changes everything. And I, you know, me having not played offensive line at 5'10", 165, I rely on talking to these coaches week in and week out, and I know you hear the same thing. I mean, that they just say an offensive line changes the game for the backfield. And if you have people that can control the line of scrimmage, it obviously helps your quarterback with protection, but it also makes makes a mediocre running back really good. It makes a great running back an amazing running back because there's just so many more holes and options, and they can be more patient without having to worry about somebody coming in from the side or right up the middle to swallow them up before they can even reach the line of scrimmage and try to find a gap to attack. So I think that's the question. I know two starters, Connor McGovern and Ryan Bates, are gone, leaving for the NFL. Three starters back. I know the thing that I've heard consistently out of the camp is – Coach Franklin saying that in the past there has been a little bit of a drop-off from when you go from the second-best tackle on the team to the third and from the second-best guard on the team to the third, and he's talked about the value of you need three good tackles that you can rotate in and rely on, and you need three good guards that you can rotate in and rely on, and he feels like he's got that. And I know that C.J. Thorpe and Mike Miranda have been battling out at right guard, but whoever is there, I think Coach Franklin now feels like, hey, I've got a little depth at those positions that maybe I didn't have in the past, and hopefully that'll mean a more fruitful offensive line for the Nittany Lions.
Also, he did spend some time in the NFL with the Green Bay Packers, and you and I both know, Brandon, that in the NFL, if you have, quote, your backups with versatility, they like to carry sometimes as few as seven, maybe as many as eight linemen going to a game because they have a 45-man roster. Is versatility in the offensive line with that mindset, has that helped some teams with their depth when they've got guys that are good enough to play multiple positions?
Yeah, and I think, like, you look at a guy like Mike Miranda, he can slot over and play either guard spot, he can play center, Dez Holmes can play either tackle. So I think that's a huge help. What you're hearing more and more the last few years is these coaches say, I'm looking when because line play is being talked about more, and what the coaches say is, I'm looking for my best five players. I'm looking for my best five players. I'll figure out where to put them. I want my best five players starting on that offensive line, and then I'll find others to slot behind them. And so versatility, because of that, is becoming more and more important. I think it used to be, this guy's the left tackle, he's the backup left tackle. He's the right tackle, he's the backup right tackle. And sure, to some degree, that would be ideal, and you see that more on the NFL level. But I think with college, it's now, wait a minute, let's just get our best five guys up there and figure out where to slot them and trust on versatility, because these linemen are more athletic. They're not the old school Nebraska linemen that just eat their way into being a center or a guard, and that's their spot, and they don't move very well. They're just taking up space. Yes, these guys are taking up space, but they can also be a little bit more athletic and quicker with their feet. So I think versatility on the offensive line is just continuing to grow, and I think we're going to see that trend more and more and more as the years unfold.
And one of the trends we're seeing more and more across the country are spread offenses. I'm not just talking about Penn State, but spread offenses everywhere. In some ways, do some of these spread offenses take some offensive lines out of the equation at times by the way they use their attack and the way they use outside screens as running plays?
No, that's what I was going to say. Yes, when getting the ball out quickly on those screens and essentially getting your athletes outside of the tackle box to make people miss in the open field, yeah, I mean, on those plays, it does change things. But you're still going to have to run the football, and when you drop back to pass, even if you're trying to move out of the pocket, you still need people up front to protect your quarterback on the move. So I do agree, yes, that some of the ways that the offenses are changing things and getting the ball out quickly and short routes and so forth makes offensive line presence a little less important, maybe on every single play, but you're still going to have a heavy portion of your playbook where those guys are going to be relied on, or else your quarterback's going to be running with his hair on fire, and your running backs, when they are supposed to run between the tackles, or even if they're supposed to be pushed out right with a guard trying to pull, they're not going to have the space. So it's still vital. But it is interesting to see the changes in offense, and it makes it a little more difficult for guys like you and I, because there's so many shifts. There's so many motions. There's so many guys that are playing, like Rondale Moore at Purdue, where sometimes he lines up as a running back, then he's in the slot, then he's out wide. And it's hard to keep track of all of these guys and all of the movements, but I get it. People are just trying to get their athletes in space to make plays.
I don't think the Hall of Fame in Atlanta is calling for the Miami, Florida tape to show as what college football can be. Although I'll say this, I mean, in terms of the back and forth, that was fun. But the quality of play was not great. You and I both know what the rules are now on every level when it comes to trying to avoid as much head-to-head contact as possible in the preseason. All right. So how do you view an opening game, knowing that that is part of the backdrop, because tackling might not be great across the country in opening weekend?
Yeah, and there's always, a couple new rules that everybody is watching as well that makes things much more complicated. The thing that I like that they changed, and I don't know if this is the direction that you're going, but I like that now targeting can be overturned in instant replay. Basically, targeting has to be confirmed. There is no longer saying it stands. All elements of targeting have to be there. And I appreciate that, because there were several times last year, and I know you worked games like this too, Steve, where they thought there was targeting. Great, you got to go for player safety, but then you look at it on replay and you're like, that wasn't targeting, but yet the penalty would stand. And I just thought it was kind of silly, and so now they have to make sure 100% that all elements of targeting are there and confirmed. It's a better middle ground of saying we're going for safety, but we're not going to go over the top of punishing a player and a team for when targeting wasn't there after we reviewed it in the booth. So yeah. I do appreciate that. And I think that was the right way to go.
I totally agree with you. I think you're absolutely right, Brandon. See, the tough targeting call to me is the one where, all right, you go in and the original target area is nowhere near the head, but then the running back or the receiver ducks down because it's a natural thing to do. I always find that's the tough one, and I completely understand why the penalty happens. I understand when it's upheld. But that's the tough one, because the intent was, I'm going to go here and you duck down into me, but they still have to call it, and I do agree with that.
I agree. The other one that frustrates me for the offensive player is, and they're going to be watching this more this year, is that a ball carrier cannot lower the crown of his helmet to make contact. And a lot of times I think that running backs in particular, when you're running along the sideline and someone's approaching you from the side, is a protective mechanism for yourself. You're naturally going to go into some type of a crouching position. And I think it is so normal to just kind of lower your shoulder and head to absorb whatever contact is coming. And I think oftentimes that gets flagged, and I think we're going to see it get flagged more as lowering the crown of the helmet and initiating contact against a defensive player, when in reality, I just think it's a guy moving at 100 miles an hour trying to protect himself. And I get what they would say, well, there's different ways to protect yourself. Yeah, but these guys are tremendous athletes, and when you're moving at the speed that they are, it they can go down and slow it down an instant replay and really make a lot of things look like they are intentional that aren't really intentional. So the one you're talking about is a problem for me with the changing of where the players are, and then the other one is the offensive player running the ball, lowering the crown of his head. Those are the two I think we could stand to clean up a little more.
Yeah, I think in the NFL they always referred to that as the Trent Richardson rule because of what he had done. A couple themes in the opening month of the season, not just in the Big Ten, but nationally, Brandon, that has piqued your interest as the opening month. What are you looking for nationally, or maybe a storyline or two that will pique your interest?
That's interesting. I'm curious, you know, I've always had a, I don't want to say a soft spot, but the Pac-12 always kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And I agree that if you look over a lot of the seasons, they just haven't had the talent level or the top-tier teams that some of the others have. But I always kind of keep a close eye on the Pac-12, and I'm curious to see how they develop. I know it doesn't look like it has the potential to be a great year for them and could get left out of the college football playoff. But I have some friends on the West Coast who always gripe about the lack of, you know, we always hear about the East Coast bias and the lack of TV coverage. I don't know how much that is there rather than it just not being year in and year out as solid of football as conferences like the Big Ten and the SEC. But I'm curious to see how they do. And then, you know, I am just baffled at, I know a lot of people think that this Alabama and Clemson every year is bad and that we're building dynasties that are ruining the parity in college football. I actually don't think that's true. I just think it's amazing what Alabama and Clemson have been able to do. And can they sustain that? In particular, Dabo Swinney at Clemson and what he has been able to do with that program. Can they continue to be a top dog? We know they're going to be good, but can they continue to win at the level that they have and as consistently as they have? So a lot of people think that these are dynasties that are bad for college football. I actually think that at some point in time, we're going to look back and realize that, wow, that was just an incredible run by a couple of incredible coaches and really good recruiting. And maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe I'll look back in 20 years and we'll have more dynasties and people winning consistently, and I'll say, maybe this wasn't good. But I don't know. I'm just trying to appreciate the good football at the top, and I respect what Alabama and Clemson have done.
Yeah, I'm with you all the way. Brandon, always great. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday, number one. But number two, thanks for doing the show today. Really great stuff, as always.
Absolutely. I will see you in a couple of days. And if you want to meet me at the Creamery Friday night, that's where I'll be.
Perfect. Great choice. That's why we get along so well. You know all the good spots.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Brandon. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. The Penn State Nittany Lions play on WKOK.
Play action steps up, waits, delivers long and deep. KJ Hamler got it at the 10, inside the 5, first and goal. Nittany Lions, what a throw, what a catch.
Penn State football is sponsored by Sunbury Motor Company, Shade Mountain Winery, W&L Subaru, Turbotville National Bank, Zimmerman Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Truck. Check out the Penn State football schedule on WKOK.com. Welcome back. Brewers lead the Cardinals 3-1 top of the sixth. The Yankees and Seattle at 4-10. Pirates and Phillies at 6:05 tonight, which means a 5:30 airtime here in the broadcast facility of Champions. Tomorrow, we'll have our high school roundtable. Now, Mark Brennan's in the next half hour. We'll talk with him, get his read on yesterday's press conference, and Penn State going into the opener with Idaho Saturday at 3:30, 2 o'clock the airtime here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tomorrow is our high school roundtable. And so on tomorrow's high school roundtable, Greg Wetzel will be here to talk about Lewisburg. I would say you would put him in the lock and dependable category, correct?
You betcha. No doubt.
Yeah. Josh Showers He'll preview Sealands Grove. I believe they have Danville this week. Josh, you would put into the dependable and no question a lock category to be with us, correct?
Jersey Shore, they'll be playing this week.
Jersey Shore.
Rematch of the conference championship last year.
And, Josh will be here.
Zach will be here.
Or Zach, I mean, he'll be here.
Josh is his
And
player.
Then, yeah, and then there's the Shikellamy game.
I'll have to check and see if there's a Shikellamy soccer game. If that's the case, Chief will be running that tomorrow, and we'll bring in the interim.
What about the play-by-play guy?
That same guy. How about that?
Yeah. He was a no-show last week.
That's right.
And was a no-show on 7 of the 10 games we had last year.
That's right. Horty crushed it every single Thursday. Could always
every
bank
single
on Horty.
Absolutely. Yeah. Some would say, and 7 of the 10 actual broadcasts, was a no-show too. But fortunately, on 1 of the 3 where he showed up, he submitted it and got an award.
Timing is everything.
Which he earned. He deserved it.
He did.
He absolutely deserved it. He does a great job. All right. So we gave you an update on the Phillies.
By the way, Corey Dickerson will be leading off tonight for the Phillies, not Rhys Hoskins.
Yeah.
So take that for what it's worth.
Well, that's fine.
I got talking with another Phillies fan this morning on the way into work, and we're trying to think, okay, who could you move up? I mean, I was even thinking, why don't you move Adam Haseley up to lead off? Why not?
Yeah, you could do that. Let me see, where's the Phillies lineup tonight? Here's one that's completely off the grid, but I'll mention it anyway. How about Scott Kingery? Just to change it up in such a way. Just to change it up. I see Kevin Newman's leading off of the Pirates. That's terrific. He's hitting .301. I actually announced Newman's first professional home run. Dickerson, Real Muto. JT's a heck of a player. Isn't he good?
Don't even try to steal second when he's behind the dish. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Hoskins is hitting cleanup. Segura's hitting fifth. Hernandez, sixth. Kingery is batting seventh. Haseley, eighth. And then Vince Velasquez, who, by the way, is hitting .261. Not bad. Now you got Mitch Keller on the mound tonight. I think you got a chance. Keller's really struggled this year. Really has. He's 1-2 with a 7.24 ERA. I mean, there's certain elements. For example, 3-1 strikeout to walk ratio. That's good. You can live with that. But the problem is he's given up 39 hits and 27 a third, Sean. That's the problem. I mean, you can be somebody that throws hard, but if you don't have movement on your pitches, major league hitters are so good. They're so good that they can hit a straight fastball that's 98. Now, Keller is considered to be the Pirates' top pitching prospect. All right? And he was up with the team May, June. All right? And finally, he got back in on August 12th. Cincinnati pitched really well. His last start against Cincinnati went 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 run. The Cubs, meanwhile, pasted him. 4 1/3, 7 hits, 6 runs, all earned. But he is their top pitching prospect. He's their guy. I saw their first round pick, the 18-year-old, pitch last night. You know what? For an 18-year-old kid, he wasn't bad. I thought he did pretty well.